Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
City Field, Grand Central Terminal, the 9/11 Memorial, the Museum of Natural History, the Federal Courthouse in Brooklyn. What do they have in common? Well, those are just some of the buildings that construction giant Lendlease, formerly known as Bovis Lendlease, has worked on, and now they have to pay $50 million in fines for overbilling clients. That often means overbilling the taxpayers, the local, state, and federal governments. Joining me now to talk about this new settlement and what it implies about construction in New York is WNYC's Bob Henley, contributing editor for Politics and Investigations, his fancy new title. Welcome again, Bob.
Thanks for having me.
Talk about the fraud at the heart of this, practice known as 8 plus 2.
Right. First of all, it's important to know and be clear that the one project that you had on that list opening, the 9/11 Memorial, evidently this investigation by the Eastern District U.S. Attorney Loretta Lynch had gotten underway sufficiently in time. So then that one case, there is no allegations that there was this process of inflating the bills, basically.
But it's another of their projects.
Right. And so one of the things to keep in mind is here, basically the way this worked was that from about 1999 to 2009, what federal investigators have documented is that James Abadie, who was the top New York guy for Bovis, basically would add additional hours for the labor foreman from Local 79, the Masons Tenders District Council. And they would also add, you know, things like vacation time, whatever. And what's important to know is that this contract, this collective bargaining agreement, did not include provisions for this kind of enhancement or sick time or vacation time. So project by project, systematically across the city and even in New Jersey, this is another regional story because the School Construction Authority got caught up in the scandal, Bovis figured out a way to just really inflate the cost of these projects. Now, they said they stopped counting at around $19 million, but the bottom line here is that this may in some way answer this question about where did the all the money that was spent on the stimulus project, because one of the ironies here is outside the Brooklyn complex where we were, where Loretta Lynch and Deputy Director Federicek from the FBI New York office, where they're holding the press conference, Brian, imagine this tableau. There's a resource, you know, renewal, that nice thing the Obama administration put together to show the stimulus dollars at work. And it says President Obama and it, because they're working on it. And then it says Bovis Lendlease right underneath. And that was one of the places where it was happening. So, and what I understand from my sources is actually this may be a much wider issue. This may be a standard industry practice, and there's an ongoing investigation into it.
All right, Bob Henley with us. I forgot to mention in introducing you that we will also talk about the tabloids, the Post and the Daily News, seeming to be trying to draft Ray Kelly to run for mayor next year, but we'll get to that. So this Bovis Lendlease scandal, they were the same company fined following the deaths of two firefighters at one of their projects in 2007, the demolition of the Deutsche Bank building by the World Trade Center site. You did extensive reporting on that.
Right.
Did they not clean up their act after that?
Well, here's what happened. Apparently, what was at issue there was Bovis's mismanagement of the site, and District Attorney Morgenthau at the time did an exhaustive examination of this because the site just kept being – the Lower Manhattan Development Corporation was responsible for it. Remember, it was that god-awful 40-story building had to be dismantled. It fell behind in terms of schedules. It went, you know, way over budget. And what Morgenthau was able to do is show that basically there had been like an organized crime-linked kind of atmosphere that took hold down there and that Bovis didn't do its job in terms of safeguarding it. And as a result, there were people on the job site not qualified who cut the actual standpipe where the water would have come up to put out a fire. Incredibly, Community Board 1, to their credit down there, predicted when they saw which way the project was going, they live around there, that someone would actually die in a fire. That came to pass when the site supervision got lax and a fire did occur. Firefighters came, two died. There were three individuals that were indicted. They went to a trial. They were acquitted. But Bovis, and this is critical, got what was called a non-prosecution agreement. That's with Morgenthau. Because at the time, Morgenthau said, and it sounds like Groundhog Day, that because of Bovis' extensive work around the city in every key project, basically, that the city is involved with state and federal government, any kind of criminal conviction would result in their debarment and shutting down work. So he basically had to be Solomon and split the baby. So he
that
came up
is the heart of the story to
exactly.
me. There is one company in New York that right. former Manhattan DA Robert Morgenthau declared, in effect, too big to fail.
Well, what he would say is that he came up with, which was a very precise agreement, much like what we have U.S. Attorney Loretta Lynch has going forward in this billing scandal. And it basically set forth that they would have a compliance officer, they would have a monitor, they would make payments to the survivor families, they would create institutes, they would clean up their act. Now, there was another a construction accident recently up at Columbia at the Harlem site where they were doing some work. Bovis is the prime contractor there. And one of the things that was said in this non-prosecution agreement is that Bovis's failure to clean up its act could be grounds for them to be prosecuted for the underlying deaths of the two firefighters. Similar language exists in this agreement that was announced yesterday. There's a two-year fuse on this here that was what we covered yesterday. They have like 2 years. And, Loretta Lynch was asked about this yesterday. Well, are you basically – they've already got a break. Is this just really – why is the government doing this? And she said very much the same thing that Morgenthau said in terms of balancing the competing interests of keeping New York working and making sure that Bovis cleaned up its act.
But I don't understand. There are a million stories in the Naked City and almost as many construction projects. Why is there only one contractor?
Well, I think it has to do with the legacy of a brand name and their ability to make sure that they are in the know. And if you look at the fact, I mean, this is a multinational corporation. They have a presence all around the world. They're doing major work for the United States government. There's a kind of scale involved in this, which means that they can bring together, resources. And I think there's also something that has to be examined here is the role of organized labor in the construction trades has always been troubled. We've had, significant cases of corruption there. And what we see here is potentially in a kind of alliance between the corrupt influences within the construction union trades itself and contractors that are taking advantage.
People are calling in on this, even without me giving out the phone number. So let's take one of these potential whistleblowers. Who knows? 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. And Jose in the Bronx, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Brian, good morning. I cannot say good morning to Robert because I have a lot of issues with him. His investigation is incorrect. Bovis is being singled out. If he wants to look in the construction industry, unions are not the problem. The big major contractor that they raise money for the politician and they get what they call no-bid contracts. City is still doing it. MTA, they have environmental consultants. They're charging prices in 1980s. Everybody knows on the street. The price on environmental has been reduced. For example, an asbestos sample. I'm just using one item. Mm-hmm. Used to be charged $45. It goes for $8 right now. But MTA pays $35. Nobody's asking those questions.
I would like to say
that I was exactly saying your point, that this is a widespread practice that has to do with the industry-wide, mm-hmm. and I mentioned lobbyists in there, and that's a key part of it, to your point, that these large contractors have lobbyists and that campaign contributions are a key part of it. We're not in disagreement.
And this isn't Bob's investigation, by the way. This is the U.S. attorney in
right.
Brooklyn, Loretta
right.
Lynch,
right.
Coming to a $50 million fine
56.
Settlement
right.
With Lendlease, formerly Bovis Lendlease, for this overbilling of the taxpayers on project after project. Let's go to Al in Manhattan. Al on WNYC, hello.
Yeah, hi. I was wondering if I understand the concept that if they prosecute them, they'd have to shut down all these current projects. But why can't they be barred from further projects? I don't understand that.
From future projects? That's a great question.
Well, the way the law works, you're either in or you're out. And so particularly when it deals with bidding for government contracts, a conviction is the thing that sets into motion what's called the process of debarment. And I mean, one of the things that is
debarment
from the ability to bid on contracts.
So there is such a thing in this case as a corporate death penalty.
In essence, yes. Now, one of the things that I think is interesting here is a development, and this seems to be something that's getting traction throughout the country, is the role of whistleblowers here. There's a former BOAS official, I guess it's Brian Arari, A-R-Y-A-I. He had been the senior vice president for finance, and he's been credited in the press today with basically blowing the whistle on this. And I think we're seeing a trend here, actually. In fact, this major case regarding Walmart that was in the New York Times, incredible reporting there over the weekend, that was set in motion by a whistleblower. So there seems to be some kind of grassroots movement, forget Occupy Wall Street, where people who are working in these environments are stepping up and trying to make a difference by bringing attention. Because here's the thing, Brian, this is coming. This huge exploitation of the public bidding process and the contracting process is coming at a time of unprecedented public scarcity, when we're really having to look at making cuts to services and to our plans for the future.
One more call on this. Sheldon in Forest Hills, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Hi. I'm always an admirer of Bob Henley, but in this instance, I must admit that I'm a little dismayed at some of the things that you said. First of all, Bovis is a construction manager rather than an old-fashioned general contractor. That means that the contracts that they, the subcontractors that they give out, they don't share in any of that money. Those are all contracts that are, in effect, a direct contract between the owner of the project and the individual contractor. They get a fee on top of everything else. They do no labor other than supervision and some cleanup labor.
But that, I just wanted to, I didn't want to interrupt you, but this is exactly what was in this case, was that they managed to hollow out these subs, particularly in the case of the minority contractors, and actually substitute Bovis workers and create sham entities. So okay, you're correct about how it works, but that was what they signed off on yesterday and agreed they did.
But you know, you're misleading the public. What it is that if they have 10 trades, they go out for prices for these 10 trades, and they may approach 30 or 40 contractors to provide pricing, and they're usually obligated to take the lowest price in each one of those trades, and that's how they award the contract. That's what they're supposed to do.
Yeah, I think one of the things here is that there's also a reliance when you're the prime that you're representing this work will be done. That's also in the documents between the customer and the prime. And that's where they've gotten into trouble before, because they affirm to the customer, whether it be the city of New York, state, or federal government, that the sub can handle the work. That's also in that same relationship.
Sheldon, thank you. I'm going to add one more call because somebody's calling in anonymously, and that probably means he has something interesting to say. Hello.
Hello.
Thank you very much for calling. Do you work in construction?
Yeah, I'm actually a inspector.
And?
What I would like to just say is that, interestingly enough, after the whole Deutsche Bank thing, what's interesting about the new Lend-Lease now is that nothing has changed. You can go to some sites, a regular inspector working for the Department of Buildings can go to some of these sites, and still they're too big to fail. It's like you come up with a whole host of issues that they have and problems that you know, and concerns, and there's nothing you can do, because even your director, supervisors, and others is telling you, you can't shut them down. So, you know, ever since Deutsche Bank, the grip between the Department of Buildings and this company has gotten even tighter, to the point where, you know, it was almost as something like Deutsche Bank never even happened.
Well, that's quite troubling, because what was interesting in the Deutsche Bank record was how many committed city officials, Department of Buildings, and the rest did exactly what you describe, document things like fires that were breaking out at the site, and they got nowhere. It just didn't seem to resonate. So you're giving us some insight. I sure wish that you could take it to the next step and act on this. I know it's difficult to do, but try to get this out to somebody, because you have very specific knowledge that seems really critical right now.
I would also like to tell you, you know, As I'm calling it anonymous, there was an inspector a month before that even attempted to apprise them of the condition of the standpipe. And even though he tried to get the building shut down, it was nil to the point that before he could even leave the site, his director was calling him, asking him, yo, what's the problem? What are you doing? You know, so it just shows you that, like, you know, maybe they're not the only company that does this, because I can tell you now, inspectors are going citywide to certain sites, you know, and you'll go to the site and the commissioner of the Department of Buildings will straight up tell you to go back to the site and take the violation back, knowing that they're in full wrong. These are some jobs that are operating without approved plans, with nothing, doing excavations or buildings and stuff like that, and you'll catch them, and they'll say, go back and get it.
Wow.
And so, you know, this is what inspectors are up against. So, I mean, earlier I heard that you know, some people, you know, were talking about, you know, inspectors and city officials dropping the ball. No, inspectors that are in the forefront see these things. But sometimes what happens is that they get the call ahead from the commissioner or something, and now their director's telling them to go back to the site. Go get the violation. Stop the job.
Let them fix this. Let me ask you, do you see situations where you think workers who are doing the work are not properly trained? Do you see that?
That's a regular thing, man. That's a regular thing. You know, it's not just probably Bovis, probably in the forefront, make sure their guys get their OSHA 10-hour cards and everything else that they need, and probably even, you know, their site training and stuff like that. When it comes to unskilled labor, it would be more like the small jobs where someone's just driving up to Home Depot and just recruiting a few guys and then shoving them into a site, you know, without any knowledge of anything. That's where we get most of our fatality, sad to say.
Well, I wish you would reach out for me if you could at some point. We would keep it confidential.
Well, you know, I think I'm going to have to pass on that. But we'll probably cross paths one day on the job site if you're out there like
all
that.
Right. All right. And hold on for 1 second, and thank you very much for speaking up as an anonymous caller. We really appreciate it. Well, that was really interesting and troubling.
Yeah.
And we're going to have to leave it there because we're out of time, so we're not going to get for – today to the other thing we were going to talk about, which is the tabloids trying to draft Ray Kelly for mayor. Maybe we'll do that tomorrow. We have the New York State Board of Regents Chancellor Merrill Tisch standing by to react to pineapple and the hair gate on the standardized test. But to talk more broadly about standardized testing in New York on this day of the statewide math test, and also her new proposal for three different ways to graduate from high school. So Merrill Tisch coming up in a minute. WNYC investigative reporter Bob Henley, thank you.
Thanks, Brian.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC.